I apologize.
It's okay. Okay, we are recording. Hello and welcome to Nobody's Saying Hello. This is, I believe it's episode 3. I don't know what time it is or what day it is. This is Nobody's Saying Hello, where we call up our friends and we say, hi, how you doing? Where you at? That sort of thing. This is the worst intro I've ever done, but that's fine. You know, support us on Patreon so I can get better at my job. Patreon.com/thenobodies.
I was getting ready to fill in for you if you couldn't remember it, but you did it. You're doing
fine. No, I did it. You know what? Like, I'm semi-professional. That's it. What do we have today?
Today we have one of my favorite people I've ever met in wrestling. It is the Neon Explosion, Neon Cassius. He is a luchador working out of the United Kingdom, and is just like the cutest person in the world. Just so adorable. Like,
you're so fun to watch in the ring.
You like, always are like, just having so much fun when you're wrestling.
And everybody it's like, in the crowd just like is cheering for you. What does that feel like when you come out to the ring?
Oh God. Like, so that feels so amazing. And like, I was always so scared of everyone being like cricket silent. So that was always my worst fear. So whenever I walk out and people like, even one person makes a noise, I'm like, okay, good. Thank God.
Like, I'm always scared, like, especially in wrestling, I'll still watch wrestling matches that aren't like queer promotions. And my heart stops. Like, I just don't want anybody to boo these little queer babies. Like, I watched a match with you and like these big burly, like masked men. And it was like a multiple like tag team match. And I was like, this crowd better not. And they were like, you got the most cheers. I forget who you were wrestling with.
Are you, you must, I mean, you mostly work babyface, but I've seen you do heel, but I can't imagine, like when I you see you, heel? I just want to like cheer.
Well, so I did heel like not for very long, but this was years ago. And so I had a drag queen manager as well at the time.
Ooh.
Virgin Extravaganza.
Good name.
Yeah,
from the House of Extravaganza, or just takes the name?
I'm not too sure, but
okay. Got it. But,
so like the Virgin Mary, basically. And if I was getting beaten up, she would do some divine intervention and just like trip them off the top rope.
Good.
And doing that in front of a crowd that isn't used to seeing stuff like that, they would boo. Straight, but this was like a few years ago, so I feel like today, you know, that would be a babyface thing.
It's
for me.
Love to see you and a drag queen walk out right now in the year 2021. There's no chance you're getting booed.
Exactly. No. So I need to do it. We need to form, like, you know.
Okay, so WrestleMania is supposed to be in LA next year, and so you should come to LA, and we'll do all the things.
Yes, please. LA's on my bucket list, so why the hell not?
You have a place to stay.
We can find you housing, we promise.
Yes. Oh my God, yes!
Yes,
please!
how long have you been wrestling? Who trained you? Like, what's up with that?
I love how that was phrased. Like, who trained you? okay,
who was lucky enough to have you as a drag child?
Well, so I started back in the day, I started in like 2010, right? And I was there I was there for a few months and then I quit, and I quit for like 2 years. I didn't learn nothing there. We do not name that place. Like, it's atrocious. And then after about 2 years of wanting to go back and doing it, but being scared, I finally went to the London School of Lucha Libre in 2013. And trained under Greg Burridge and Gary Vanderhorn and the London School of Lucha Libre. And since then it was like, oh my God.
Were you always this magical neon unicorn? And were people accepting of that back then?
Well, so I was like, so obviously gay, obviously, as you can tell. And everyone knew, and that was like sort of my, one of the things that kept me from pursuing wrestling before was like, I wasn't sure how people were going to be, but the London School of Lucha Libre was like the most accepting place I've like ever been in my life. It was a wrestling school, but a lot of the students there didn't even watch wrestling. They just liked performance and stuff. And then there was also fire breathers training there. Wow. And like loads of cabaret and burlesque people. And mm-hmm. I just met so many cool people there that were from all different types of backgrounds. So when I came there, they were all so accepting. And it was sort of like this.
It sounds a lot crew. Like the LA scene, to be honest. Like,
oh really?
Boom! Yeah.
Oh yeah, I've heard of, yeah. So I.
The lucha and the burlesque worlds overlap so much in LA.
Yeah, it's the same here. Like, if it's a lucha show, then there's going to be burlesque on it.
That's mm-hmm. so cool. Same we with need LA. More of that in New York. Mm-hmm. It's so upsetting that New York is like still pretty segregated. Although it's starting to get a little more integrated with like the deathmatch stuff.
There's not really a lucha scene in New York, is there?
There is a little bit. There's like a, I forgot the name of the company. This is unprofessional of me again. Oh well.
There's so many companies out there, you know, it's okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. But
so
like,
were you always Neon Cassius, or were you, did you have a different character at a different point?
No, that's always been my name. So the thing is, so before my first match, like I think 2 weeks before, we were just training and I got in the ring with one of the girls and they wanted me to be heel. So I just grabbed her by the hair and threw her.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh my God, yeah. So my trainer sounds really cockney and he was like, oh my God, yeah, I want that on the show. And I want you to get like pink shorts and sparkles or just whatever you do, make sure it's sparkly. And like, that was such a big deal for me. I was so scared to do that. Because I was like,
was this a straight dude like telling you this in a Cockney accent?
Yeah.
I'm obsessed with
and he's got like tattoos everywhere, but he's lovely. And like, because of him and that school, like, that is why I came out, because they made me so comfortable. But like, I was so terrified of even the idea of wearing pink shorts. Because I used to have like these pink shorts in primary school. Well, they were red, but they got washed, so the color ran out and they went pink. And I remember someone being like, "Oh, they're pink shorts." So from then on,
childhood trauma triggered.
This is like a Trixie Mattel origin story. Where,
yeah,
like,
for real.
Had like called her Trixie, and then she retook it. How many? You're always coming out in some like short. Like right now, you have on this short fur bolero. How many boleros do you have?
Jesus, I don't know. I've lost count. I have loads. If it's a bolero, I will buy it because I like it when the jackets are short, because that way, you know, I show what I have.
You show your abs.
You know, not getting drowned in some long coat.
It's very like 90s, early 2000s, like Mean Girl shit.
It's such a good answer to like wrestling's obsession with like long trench coats and shit, because I'm so sick of all these dumb long trench coats all these wrestlers are wearing.
Well, so I'm only like 5'7". Well, we sometimes say 5'8", but I'm about 5'7". So if I wear a long trench coat, I'm going to look drowned in it. Like, it needs to be short. So, yeah,
it works for you too, because it's just like perky and bubbly and cute.
Yeah, but do you know what? Sometimes it's hard to find a goddamn bolero in England, or like a nice one. So sometimes I just have to like buy a coat and then cut it and make it like
punk.
You know what I mean?
Wait. So okay. So when you think of Neon Cassius. But is that you, or is this a character you're playing? Like, how much of a separation is there?
Well, I feel like it's me. This chose me. Like, if you would have said like, oh, this is what you're going to be doing, I would have been like, oh no, I'm too shy to do that. But this is really who I've always wanted to be. Like, I couldn't strut down the street, but I could strut to the ring, and that's fine. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's me.
Exactly how I feel about drag. 10.
Yeah, exactly.
My origin story for drag was I was out at a bar. Well, there's several pieces to it, but this is like the main one. I was out at a bar and it was when Lady Gaga's Applause came on and I was like working the runway and like feeling my oats. And that night, me and my best friend at the time like decided to start doing drag.
Yes. I'm so glad you did, because you know, you have to, if you want to do something, you have to try it, you know, and you start. And you know what I mean? Yeah.
The stage is literally one step at a time. Just step up.
Yes.
Does Neon Cassius have like a fictional origin story? Does like he, where does he come from as opposed to like where you come from?
Well, he's definitely, we don't know where he comes from, but he's definitely not from North London, where I'm from. So like I'm from like the ghetto North London, so people have like attitude there. He's not from there. We don't know where he's from, but yeah,
he's a little more posh maybe.
Yeah, a little bit more posh. Yeah.
That's adorable. I remember, wait, I wanted to ask you, I like hosted a screening of the new Cassandro documentary, and you are in it. You like are in the, you're not like, you're in the background training with Cassandro. What was that like?
Yeah, so I met Cassandro years ago. So he's good friends with my trainers. And so every sort of like every year when he came to London, he would come to the school and he would train us. And then I would always get put, we'd be putting together in a tag team match, you know, whatever show it was. That was always so much fun. And I think for me, like, so at the time being in the closet, which was a glass closet, everyone knew, it was really cool to see a successful wrestler that was openly gay, because that was very rare at the time. It's not like there's thousands, but there's more now. So yeah, but that was really cool. And he taught us some like lucha moves. So anything lucha-ish I do, I would have learned it, you know, in those sessions, because they were tough, those sessions.
Well, he's real tough. Like, he doesn't give a fuck. He'll really hurt himself in a ring and just will not care.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Backtrack a little bit. I feel like one day we need to facilitate you coming to the ring in a glass closet.
Yes, yeah, hell yeah. Yeah, and then I just like smash it and walk out or something like that. Yeah.
Yes. Oh,
I'm a reveal from like a flannel into neon.
Yes.
Do you consider yourself an exotico? Because I know that like that term is a little more controversial, maybe not controversial, but falling out of favor amongst the sort of younger gay wrestlers. I wonder what you think of that.
Well, so if it's any lucha show, they would use the word exotico. But then if it's like a normal British show, they don't really use that word. But for me, it's that whenever they called me an exotico, I felt like, oh my god, really? Because I'm not that crisp at lucha. I can do some lucha moves, but I know I don't move like how they would if they were trained in Mexico. So whenever they said like, oh, this is an exotico, I was sort of like, I see what you mean,
hissing boys in the ring or anything like that. That's not usually part of your gimmick, is it?
No. So I've like a few times done it here and there, but I mostly just didn't really do any of that. I do a Bronco Buster, you know, and a stink face, because of course, why the hell not? If they're not hot, I'm not kissing them, you know?
Good answer. Strong answer.
And there isn't that many hot ones out there. So.
What's your favorite match that you've had thus far, or favorite opponent?
Oh, Jesus. Okay. Okay. So, Okay, a favorite match I've had was at Riptide for the Pride of Brighton medallion. So I won this tournament to become the Pride of Brighton. And that match was so much fun. I had three matches that day. And like no one sort of expected me to be in the main event on that show because I was sort of new to that company at the time. And then no one expected me to win. So then when I did win, it was like, oh my God, what the hell? Fuck. Oh,
who was the final match against?
Curtis Chapman.
Okay.
And, well, they call him Mad Kurt. And so he's quite short and he's very slim like myself. So it was cool to have a main event where both the guys were skinny. And so, yeah, and that was like, I remember the crowd reaction in that match was like, gave me goosebumps because I was sort of like, I was so new to that company that when I was in the main event, I was kind of like, oh, really?
Oh my God.
And then, because I got the crowd reaction, I was like, okay, cool. Yeah, that was why I needed to prove to myself that, yeah.
You fought that Cara Noir over there, no?
Cara Noir, oh, yeah.
What's the tea with him? I can't figure him out.
So I met Cara Noir on my very first day in wrestling, like back in the day, like at the other school I was going to. And he didn't always have that name. But I've wrestled him so many times. And when I used to have like really big career moments, he would always somehow be involved in the match, whether he'll be teaming with me or against me or just there. Like, so, and he's so cool.
Berica, have you seen him ever? Do you know who I'm talking about? He's like this, like, he's like a very tall, statuesque guy who used to be like a ballet dancer or something. And he has like a black swan gimmick.
Mm-hmm. He's very
intimidating. Maybe I have. What's his name?
Cara Noir.
Maybe. It sounds familiar.
He's very intimidating. Like, it took me years before, like, years of knowing him to understand his sense of humor, because like I would say a joke and he would just look at me like and not laugh or not nothing, and I would be like, oh, okay. But after realizing that's what he was like, and I realized actually he doesn't have a problem with me, he's actually cool, and we always had like really fun matches, and so yeah, he became like a good friend after that. So I was like, okay, cool.
That's so funny. Him and you seem to have like such distinctly different styles, but they're like kind of both vaguely queer. So anytime someone mentions you, I feel like someone's also mentioning Cara Noir in the same breath. And I'm like, but they're not the same at all.
Yeah. So like we had a match last year. And so I'd had loads of matches with him, but they were on shows that were a lot smaller. So people didn't really see the matches.
Right.
And then when I had a match with him at Riptide, after that, every time someone had seen me at a different show, they'd be like, oh, that match you had with Cara Noir was like really fun and I liked it. And I was like, oh, I've been wrestling him for years, but no one saw those matches. I'm glad you finally saw one.
That's great. Yeah, I think it's just because it's like the two cartooniest characters you could think of that are like, mm-hmm. It's like very anime fight.
Yeah. And he has glitter as well. And I was like... Finally, someone else has glitter too. Great, good.
And now everybody has glitter that steps in the ring.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, exactly, because it gets everywhere.
Yeah. Wait, who would be your dream opponent?
Oh,
would you love?
I mean, out of anyone in the world?
Everyone.
Okay, well, I would have to say Mickey James. I don't care if
you and Eddie McQueen are.
Oh my God! Yeah.
Hmm.
We've just been talking about Mickey James like a bunch lately. Every gay wrestler is like Mickey James, obviously.
I feel like we're secreting her onto the show right now.
Yes, yeah. It's gonna happen.
I'm gonna reach out to
her. We're manifesting this.
Is she still employed by WWE? Is she?
No, she's not.
Wait, what?
Oh.
No?
I don't think she is. She's not on contract, I don't think.
Interesting. She's not on their like official roster page right now?
I haven't checked, but I'll look.
We're going to check this out.
But we need to get her on the show.
That would be fun.
I would get.
You just spilled some tea.
Mickey James. Yeah, that would be so fun.
Mickie James is the best.
You and Eddie McQueen and Mickie James.
Yeah.
Fatal three way.
Yes. Yes. It's funny. So when I wrestled Eddie McQueen and we were like coming up with parts of the match, I was like, oh, I do a tilt roll head scissors, like, you know, like the Kelly Kelly one. And whenever I say that to anyone in England, they're like, I don't know what you're talking about. Like, Kelly Kelly what? And I said the Kelly Kelly one, and he was like, oh yeah, I know that one. I was like, oh my God, yeah. Someone is judging me for saying Kelly Kelly. But yeah.
Wait, so, okay, so in the United States, there, like, it's very obvious that there's kind of like a seismic change going on about how gay people are accepted in wrestling, but I don't really understand, you know, like, I just haven't really been there, so I don't know if the same thing is really noticeable in the UK. What have you noticed kind of changing in the culture of wrestling around gay people over there in the past few years?
It's a lot more accepting than it used to be. I mean, like, obviously, still a long way to go, but, like, back in the day, like, I didn't really know anyone, well, anyone that was openly gay. Like, I'm sure there was loads of gay people, they just weren't out of the closet. But now there's, like, even at the training school, there's, so at the London School of Lucha Libre, there's so many members of the LGBTQ plus community there that it was like, I wish it was like that when I first started. Mm. And it's only been in like the last few years, but so like, for example, at Riptide, like the fans there in Brighton, so Brighton is like a very gay city in England. And so even the fan base isn't just like your typical older male there. There's like, there's women in the crowd, there's trans in the crowd, there's like everyone in the crowd, and it's so nice to see as well, because you know, sometimes if it's just an audience full of like old
straight people,
yeah, yeah. like I used to always be worried about if they would like me, and somehow I win them over in the end, and but it's nice to know that the crowd isn't full of that, and that there's everyone in the crowd, because that's really when it's like, okay, now things are changing. So
is there someone up and coming in the UK that we should look out for right now that you love?
Up and coming, I'd say Aaliyah James, but she's already goddamn signed already in 5 minutes. She's so good. So yeah, Aaliyah James, she started like a year ago.
Whoa.
Yeah, she started a year ago, and
she's like Olivia Lux.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Exactly. Did Olivia Lux only start recently too?
Olivia Lux has only been doing drag for like a year and a half.
Two years ago.
Shut up! No, yeah. Really.
She's so good, and she's so young.
Yeah.
Oh wow. Okay. Well, basically the Olivia Lux of British wrestling. Yeah. Yeah. So she started and she signed straight away, but like
with WWE.
Yeah.
No UK way. Or NXT?
UK.
Cool.
But like when you watch her like wrestle, she's just so good. Like you can see, like of course she's gonna be signed straight away, because she really is, she has got something like special. She's gonna be such a big name soon.
What's her name in WWE? It's
Aaliyah James, yeah.
Cool. Okay, I'm gonna look out for her.
Yeah.
I've never heard the name before, so I'm excited to watch out.
Yeah,
I have one more question for you.
Mm-hmm.
I've been asking this every week, and I love it. What is the epitome of glamour to you?
Oh. the epitome of glamour?
Yeah. Who's your glamour idols? Like, who do you... Yeah.
Why do I think of, like... This is not my final answer, but why the first thing I think of is like Katie Price, like glamour model. Like,
okay, who is she? I don't know who she is.
She's so famous over there, isn't she?
Yeah, but I don't know who she is. I know Bimini just did an impression of her and it was really funny, but I don't know who she is.
Yeah, so Bimini did like a really accurate impression. Like she was like a Page Three model.
What does that mean?
So like she got her tits out. Like,
oh, okay, yeah. Work.
So it worked, you know. Got
a singer too. Did she have like a singing career too?
She married Peter Andre, and then got divorced. Had quite a few kids with X, Y, and Z. But like, yeah, she was a glamour model and then just has, she's just famous for being famous now, but sort of like, yeah, that was my first thing.
Is she like as witty as Bimini's version of her was?
Well, do you know, sometimes she talks like that. So kind of, you know what I mean? Like kind of, yeah, okay. but Bimini was spot on.
Amazing, amazing, yeah. Amazing. Love. Good answer. Although it is not your final answer, it's a good answer.
Yeah, so my final, okay, glamour. Huh. Are we talking about glamorous?
Just like whatever glamour means to you. What is like the prime example of the most glamorous thing?
I don't even know why I find this so hard to answer. I don't know. Katie Price. We'll say Katie Price.
Okay, work. What's like your favorite memory from wrestling? Just like, period.
As in like anything I've watched as well, right?
No. Just like, what is your deepest and most treasured memory from being in wrestling?
I think coming out in wrestling. So I did this video for Pink News, which was talking about being a gay wrestler. And so when I got the call, I knew what Pink News was, obviously, but I actually was still in the closet when I accepted this interview. But everyone knew I was gay, so it's fine. And then I sat down and I was like, oh, just out of like curiosity, what are we going to be talking about? And they were like, oh, you'll find out when we turn the cameras on. And I was like, at this time, we'd never said I was gay, but it was so obvious that we'd never mentioned it. And then the first question was, so what do you identify as, gay, straight, bi, or blah, blah, blah? And I was like, oh. And in that moment, I was like, I don't know when this video is going to come out. Is it going to come out next week or is it going to come out next year?
Right.
And I might already be out by the time the video comes out. So I was like, well, I got to tell the truth. And then, so yeah, I came out in that. And then I didn't know when the interview was going to drop. And then they text me that morning and I was like, okay, right, I have to come out now. And then they released the video and yeah, and that was that. And everyone was so nice about it. So yeah.
It's so crazy that like coming out stories are like in wrestling these days are just like, they're just good. Like there's so few people who are like, I came out and it was really terrible and people were abusive. Like everyone's just like, no, everyone was really supportive.
I feel like in the future, we need to see coming out stories like the gimmick of getting married on a wrestling show.
I want to do that. I want to do that.
On a wrestling show.
That would be fun. Yeah. And then, like, it turns into a match somehow.
Yeah.
I want to have a wedding.
This is my coming out party. No, it's my coming out party.
Yeah.
No, it's mine, too. Everyone comes out.
Or, like, a gender reveal party as, like, somebody coming out as trans or something.
Yeah. But then it turns into a wrestling match.
Yes.
Yeah.
Amazing. Okay, I think it's that time.
Okay, yes.
Rapid fire. So, one word, or, like, short answers, quick, okay? Well, okay.
As fast as possible.
Best as possible. Favorite food?
Pasta.
Snacks,
yeah?
Yeah.
What's your favorite snack?
Is it Eddie McQueen?
Okay, yeah.
Sweet treat. What's your favorite sweet
what?
Treat? Your favorite sweet treat.
Sweet treat. I don't know.
Chicken or egg? Chicken or egg?
Chicken.
Scrambled or fried?
Scrambled.
Tea or coffee?
Tea.
Favorite color?
Yellow. And favorite pink. Comedy?
And pink. Me too.
Yeah.
Favorite comedy?
Legally Blonde.
Favorite drama?
Oh, is Riverdale a drama?
Sure.
Yeah.
Favorite faggot?
Baguette?
No. Favorite faggot?
A favorite what?
Fag.
Faggot, like a sausage kind of thing.
I guess that means something different over there.
There's pork faggots.
Faggot
right?
is something different.
We just mean favorite gay person.
Favorite gay person. We're doing cultural exchanges here.
Favorite faggot. Okay, because no one would phrase it like that. Okay, yeah. Aquaria.
Good answer.
Favorite wrestler of all time?
Mickey James.
Favorite lady?
Ooh. Ooh. Mickey James.
Favorite baby?
Favorite baby? My niece and nephew.
Oh, okay. Someone you miss?
No one. I don't miss anyone.
Okay, great. What's the strangest thing in your home?
The strangest thing in my home? The star on the wall behind me? I don't have anything strange, you know?
Last question. Fill in the blank. If I'd known you were coming, I'd have...
Open my mouth. No, I'm joking.
Yay, we did it.
That Tell was us so where cute.
We can find you and what you have coming. What's going on in your life? Tell us where we can find you online and what you have going on.
At Neon Cassius on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and currently in lockdown right now. So what even is happening in my life? Like that is
happening in anyone's life, really.
Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, I got some fun opportunities that are coming up soon, but I don't want to say yet in case I jinx them and they don't happen.
Okay, let's not do that.
Yeah. So everyone just keep an eye out on Neon Cassius's
Instagram and Twitter
because there more is coming soon.
Yes.
Will be revealed. This has been Nobody's Saying Hello.
This was such a cute episode. This was so fun. Thank you for talking to us.
That's CGX Support. Subscribe, share this podcast, tell your friends, and follow us on patreon.com/thenobodies. Thanks so much. I did another outro.
That was good.
Yeah.